I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King.
Yes, rejoice, give thanks, and sing. Thanks to the Altar of Praise Chorale for that song of praise and testimony. And thank you for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. If you're tuning in to the Voice of Hope for the very first time, we want you to know that this weekly Bible teaching program is produced by Heralds of Hope. Heralds of Hope is an international gospel broadcast and literature ministry. We use several forms of electronic media to reach millions of people around the world with our broadcasts in English and 15 other major languages. We also have a large and growing Bible and literature distribution ministry. In addition, we partner with several indigenous ministries in Asia and Africa to further spread the good news of the gospel. These partnerships have enabled us to produce or purchase Bibles and literature in some of the smaller local languages in countries like Kenya, Malawi, Ethiopia, and others. Bibles are being distributed in English, Spanish, Hindi, Telugu, Urdu, Chichewa, and several other languages. And our expositions of the scripture are being translated and printed in a variety of languages too. And all of this is made possible by the faithful prayers and generous financial support of listeners just like you. I wish you could read all the responses we get from around the world about how your partnership has impacted people for the cause of Christ. People who have never heard the gospel before are having an opportunity to hear because of your faithfulness. And others who are believers are being discipled in their walk of faith. You know, only eternity will reveal the full impact of your prayers and your giving. Last week on The Voice of Hope, we began a study from the book of Daniel. Our study from chapter 1 was titled, Standing Before the King. We weren't able to finish that study, so we're returning to it again today. But just before we do that, here's the choir with a song of prayer.
Stoop to my weakness.
Now, as we resume our study, I will read our text, Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king." So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. In our text, God's protection becomes evident through Daniel's purpose. Think of all the rationalizations for compromise that Daniel and his friends could have come up with. Just think, if we eat the king's food and obey his commands, we'll be placed in important government posts. Then think of the impact we can have for God on this heathen nation. Or maybe something like this: under normal circumstances, we should obey God's law. But these aren't normal circumstances. But no, verse 8 tells us that Daniel purposed or resolved in his own heart that he would not defile or pollute himself with a portion of the king's food and drink. Why do you suppose, then, they thought the king's food and drink were unacceptable? First, the king's food and drink were most likely offered to the gods of Babylon before it was served to the king. So in the Babylonian way of thinking, to eat the food was to worship the god it had been offered to. I skipped over verses 6 and 7 earlier. Those verses tell us that the king replaced the Hebrew names of the captives with Babylonian names. The Hebrew names of the four young men all had some reference to Jehovah, the true God. Nebuchadnezzar renamed them with names that referenced the Babylonian gods. And unfortunately for us, it's by their Babylonian names that we commonly remember Daniel's three friends. So what was happening here was what we might call a full court press to change the identities of these young men. It wasn't just the food. It was the language, the dress, the entire culture of their captors. Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to become fully assimilated into the culture of Babylon. He wanted them to forget their godly upbringing. And you know, that's exactly what Satan wants to happen to every Christian young person today. Join the crowd, follow your peers, get ahead. Or they could do what they knew would please their God, though it might involve persecution and cost them advancement opportunities. Let me ask you something. Would the average 17 or 18-year-old in your church be able to withstand the kind of pressure Daniel and his friends faced? Here were four youth facing the most powerful adult on earth. Are your young people sufficiently grounded in their faith in God and His Word to stand against the world? Is the church, their parents, and their school equipping them with an understanding of Scripture and helping them develop solid biblical convictions? Are they resolved, like Daniel, to remain faithful to God, no matter what? It's sad, but we all too often know the answer to those questions. Huge numbers of our young people are walking away from the church and from faith in Jesus Christ. But there are those, praise God, who have resolved to be faithful, and God is pouring out His blessing on them and equipping them for His service, just like He did for Daniel and his friends. H.A. Ironsides wrote this: "Where there is faithfulness in separation from that which is opposed to the mind of God, where His Word is allowed to sit in judgment on all your ways, you will learn that the path of the just is as a shining light, which shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. The Word will illumine each step as you take the one already pointed out." Daniel's purpose, his resolve, became part of God's plan of protection. And my friend, your resolve to follow God wholeheartedly will become part of your protection too. But God wasn't finished yet. No, He worked in the heart of the king's steward. Part of God's protection was through the steward's permission. You don't think it just so happened that way, do you? Look at verse 9. "Now God gave Daniel favor and goodwill with the chief of the eunuchs." The King James Version says, "tender love." God was using the character of these four young men to impact Nebuchadnezzar's officials. God is at the center of everything that's happening in this book. As I was meditating on this text, I was reminded of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7. It says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." God was working in the heart of this steward so that Daniel's resolve could be honored and his purity protected. It's true, this fellow was afraid of losing his head if these captives didn't turn out well. He had a job to do, and he was going to carry it out. So he refused Daniel's appeal to abstain from the king's food. Daniel's response to the rejection of his appeal is instructive for you and me. He didn't sulk, or whine, or complain, and he didn't go on a hunger strike. But he didn't give up either. Daniel knew the chief steward wasn't able to oversee everything. He had helpers. In fact, there was a different steward who was given the specific charge for Daniel and his three friends. And it was to this man that Daniel made his second appeal. He asked for a dietary test, a test in which the steward really had nothing to lose. God's continuing protection of His faithful servants would be provided through a dietary probation. Daniel asked that they be given water to drink and vegetables to eat, essentially a vegetarian diet, for just 10 days. We're not exactly sure why Daniel asked for this kind of diet. It's possible that the meat on the king's table was from animals that would have been considered unclean, or perhaps it wouldn't have been handled according to the guidelines God had set for his people. And as we mentioned earlier, it would have been offered to idols. But then the vegetables could have been offered to idols too. Normally, a vegetarian diet wouldn't leave these young men looking healthier than their peers. On the other hand, overindulgence in the rich food and drink that was provided for them definitely could have led to negative health consequences. What seems clear is that Daniel was giving God an opportunity to provide supernatural results from this test. He asked for the test, but he left the final decision with the steward. The steward consented to let them take the test and then provide the evaluation at the end of the 10-day period. Notice what happened. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his friends were better looking and more muscular than all their peers. So the steward took away their daily portion from the king's table and allowed them to eat things that were grown in the soil, vegetables, grains, and fruits. Evidently, they ate that diet for the whole 3-year training program. I believe God blessed these men because of their obedience, not because they ate vegetables instead of meat. Through Daniel's purpose, through the steward's permission, and through this dietary probation, God protected the 4 young men and the steward who was over them. These young men were being prepared to stand before the king with no fear of being disqualified. The final phase of training to stand before the king is acknowledge God's provision. At the end of their 3-year curriculum, these 4 faithful young men stood for their final exam. It included an oral testing by Nebuchadnezzar. These men were now approximately 20 years old, and they had passed at the head of their class. The king proceeded to give them positions of significant responsibility in his administration, and in those positions, they proved far superior to any and all of the other officials. We mustn't miss the fact that in each phase of this training, Daniel gives God credit for what's happening. God, in his providence, gave Judah into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. God, in his protection, gave Daniel and his friends favor and tender love with the chief steward. And now God, in his provision, gave these 4 young men knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And in addition, God gave Daniel understanding in all visions and dreams. And then there's another word that's mentioned numerous times in the later verses of this chapter. It's the word all. Health-wise, these 4 young men were better than all the other trainees who accepted the king's food, verse 15. When these young men were examined by the king, verse 19, there were none among all their peers who could compare to them. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, they were 10 times better than all the rest, verse 20. God gave these young men knowledge and skill. They studied the learning and literature of the Chaldeans. They needed a thorough understanding of what the Chaldeans believed and insight from God to know what was true and what was just superstition. You may remember that Moses had a very similar experience being raised and educated in Egypt. Today, this is a lot like a person preparing for mission work among people of another religion and culture. The more you understand how people think and the reasons they have for their actions, the more successful you can be in presenting the gospel to them. The wisdom these young men had wasn't worldly wisdom, it was godly wisdom. The Hebrew terms for wisdom that are used in this chapter have ethical and religious overtones. You see, without a wholehearted commitment to the Lord and without obedience to His will, there can be no genuine wisdom. And therein, I believe, lies the secret to God's blessing on the lives of these young men. God used their unfailing obedience to provide miraculously for their superiority over all their peers. Nebuchadnezzar's testimony of these young men was that they were 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers in his realm. That's astounding, even if it's hyperbole, but I don't think it is. Nebuchadnezzar himself was an exceptionally intelligent man, and he was well known for his building programs and his military exploits. So he was quick to recognize the superior character and wisdom of these young men. God had blessed and gifted these men so they could serve the king, but ultimately so they could serve the purposes of Jehovah, the Most High God. And then in addition, God gave Daniel skill in the interpretation of visions and dreams. That detail becomes very important as we progress through this book. Chapter 1 closes by stating that Daniel served in the king's court until the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel lived a long and eventful life, faithful to his God and faithful to his people. Now, most likely, your circumstances and mine are different than Daniel, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael. But as you reflect on your life, can you see these phases of your training to stand before your king? Can you see God's providence, his guiding hand in the experiences you've had? Can you see how God has blessed you for your obedience? Or conversely, how he's disciplined you for your disobedience? Can you give testimony to his protection over you? Are there specific incidents in your life where you can clearly see how God kept you from deception, from poor decisions, or from physical harm and danger? Can you see how God used your obedience to protect you and keep you headed in the right direction? Can you see how he used the authority figures in your life as part of that protection? My friend, God wants and needs more servants today like Daniel and his 3 friends. Are you willing to endure these rigorous phases of training to prepare yourself for his service? If you are, then you will be able, on that final day, to stand with confidence before your king.
We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all.
The trial of our faith brings its reward, endurance for the battle in the name of the Lord. And the truth that keeps this hope alive is the promise that he gives.
When we face the greatest struggle, we will stand. We will stand when the battle rages, trusting in the Lord, resisting powers of darkness with shield and sword. We will lift our eyes to Jesus when courage seems small, and we will find the strength to stand through it all. We will lift our eyes to Jesus.
My friend, thank you for joining us on the Voice of Hope today. If you'd like a copy of this teaching, just write and request it by its title, Standing Before the King. It's available on an audio CD or in print, or you can go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. If you'd like to contact us, the easiest way to do that is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And you can visit our website at heraldsofhope.org and listen to many of our Bible teaching programs at your convenience. We also invite you to visit our Facebook page, where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also listen to our archived programming when you visit the website. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 1-866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now I'll look for you next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of Daniel. So tune in and invite your friends to listen too. And until we meet again,
sweet.